Welcome. Today is 29th of July, 2008, already. This is our friend, Fionnuala Gill. You know her. Tomorrow night is her concerts at the Sugar Club. I think it's on Leeson Street. So, tickets are $22.50, and it starts at 8 p.m. So, Fionnuala has the voice of an angel. She was the original voice on Riverdance, I think for the Eurovision, the very first one when they did the intermission or something. You know what I mean? Before the... Yeah. The one that made the splash. So she has a new CD out. We have a copy of that. Well, we've been listening to it from time to time. It's lovely. So let us all go out. We will be there tomorrow to get Kalindi and I to go into City Center. Is a major, major thing. We will be there. So we hope to see you there. So let us support Fionnuala. All right, so what's up? Total solar eclipse.
Tonight?
No. You're safe for this evening. Total solar eclipse is coming Friday, 1st of August. And I wrote this little piece here. So, mostly it'll be visible starting up in the Canadian North, Greenland, I think parts of Scandinavia, Russia, Mongolia, China. We will see not the full blast, but some of it, the partial view right here in the middle of the world, at the heart of it all, Ireland. And that will be Friday morning between 10:21 a.m. and 12:21 p.m. That's noon. So that is 2 hours. Okay? I request that you all take time off work. So you get a half day off. Do I have anybody that's complaining about that? Or okay. On August 1st, we will experience a total solar eclipse in the sign of Cancer in the constellation of Pushya. This is Vedic calculation now, not Western astrology. In the constellation of Pushya, according to Vedic astrological calculation, Pushya is a constellation that generally brings enlightenment. Pushya means the nourisher, that which nourishes. Constellation is literally that, a star group. So the way it works is, here's a planet, like the sun, and behind that is the sign, 30 degrees like Cancer. 0 degrees to 30 degrees of Cancer, or Leo, or Taurus, whatever. And behind that is the star group, is the constellation. Mm-hmm. The constellation is never considered in Western astrological understanding. They don't see.
Therein lies the difference, is it?
That's one of the main differences. Because the constellation gives all kinds of effects. Very, very subtle. But they're there. So the star group in this case is called Pushya. So even though it's Pushya is a constellation that generally brings enlightenment, even though its ruler is Saturn. Actually, Pushya is considered to be, out of the 27 constellations, Pushya is considered to be the most auspicious of them all. there are 27 constellations around the ecliptic. The ecliptic is the orbit that the planets travel on. It's an ellipsis shape. And so there they go, sun in the middle, right? And there are 27 constellations around that. Each one, the little space of demarcation is 13 degrees 20 minutes per constellation. If you multiply 13 degrees 20 minutes times 27, guess what you get? 360 degrees. So, an eclipse is generally an inauspicious event, not favorable, negative, harmful, hurtful. Why? Why would it be? Right. Because you're blocking out the light of the sun or the moon, correct? Can you imagine if that was happening all the time? What it would be like? So if somebody, you know, sometimes you're busy writing and somebody stands, you go, could you get out of my light, please?
Yes, I'm reading.
I'm reading. I can't see. I'm writing. So eclipse is, they say, generally inauspicious. I've never found anywhere where it's been auspicious in 31 years, but okay. It's inauspicious.
Even with the star constellation, that is auspicious.
Yeah. Well, that just shows you what it's going to create havoc with. Okay.
I have a question. Is it the moon that's coming in front of us?
Yeah. Well, it's ain't phony. It's the moon that's coming in front of it, but let me keep going, and it'll answer your question. An eclipse is generally an inauspicious event since the planets, which are the luminaries, the givers of light, are overshadowed or eclipsed by other celestial bodies. In Vedic mythology and astrological calculation, we always find the presence of either lunar node, Rahu or Ketu, in conjunction with the eclipsed planet. So, yeah, the moon will be there because it's taking place on the new moon. In Cancer, you will have, well, I say this here someplace, I think. Yeah, the moon, Ketu, and Mercury, moon, Ketu, Mercury, sun will all be together in Cancer. When we have sun and moon together, what do we have? New moon, right? Here's sun, here's moon. What is this in the sky? What am I depicting?
Full moon.
Full moon, right? What's that?
Half moon.
What's this? New moon. New moon. Right? So they'll all be there. Ketu is the culprit and will be eclipsing the sun. Okay? Rahu and Ketu are known as Chaya Graha, or shadow planets in Sanskrit, since their purpose is to carry and project the shadow upon the other planets. This they accomplish both on the personal or individual level as well as the collective or world level. Rahu and Ketu uncover the nature of the shadow or negative behavior pattern and its consequences so that it can be recognized, exposed to the light of day, and subsequently resolved or removed. So you might say, well, this is a bad thing. It's bringing up the shadow, the repressed shadow or negative element. And that means there's going to be some kind of a confrontation or some level of destruction. If you have two people in a working environment, for example, And there's tension. And every day, a little more tension. And somebody, and they don't say anything, just it's a little, this little kind of the elbow. You know, little things here and there. And other people are watching, you know, building, building, building. Does anybody like to be in that atmosphere? No. Including the two people involved, correct? And sooner or later, it happens. You know it's going to happen. Right? And boom, it explodes. And a confrontation takes place. Somebody yells at the other or, you know, accusatory. That's what we're doing. We're talking about. The shadow bursts forth. And sometimes you get resolution. Not always. But you definitely get a release of energy. Is it good energy? At the moment, it's quite negative. At the moment that it happens, it's a negative release, right? It may then be followed by a positive shift. Mm-hmm. Many times, it is. Correct? Mm-hmm. Because to not speak your truth and to carry on as if everything is just hunky-dory when it isn't. You know. So that's a reasonable analogy to say this is what's going to happen. You know, something needs to be brought to the surface. All right. Eclipse effects may be felt during the actual time of eclipse, but they also may reverberate for months to come, especially solar eclipse. If it's a lunar eclipse, it's said to reverberate for weeks. If it's a solar eclipse, it's said to reverberate for months. Okay, some of the effects that may become apparent in the near future are as follows. Further flooding and the destruction of dams and levees can be expected because they're in Cancer, water sign. All right. The price of raw materials which are extracted from the ground, such as coal, oil, or kerosene, energy, fossil fuels, is likely to rise even higher. Well, yeah, that's quite a prediction, isn't it? Anybody could have made that prediction, right? There may be a mining accident which could result in the loss of lives. A scandal involving cemeteries, graves, and gravesite providers may erupt. Just 2 years back in the U.S., they found out they had dug up a whole bunch of coffins and relocated them because they wanted to do a development there. Or in one case, they wanted to resell the plots, resell the grave sites to somebody else. And they moved everybody's, because the graves had been there for a long, long time, like you'd see in Irish graveyards, churchyards. And they relocated them all. Told no one.
No blessings, nothing.
Told no one.
Oh,
and when they found out, it didn't go over well. So it might be something like this, you see. A bridge, dam, or tunnel may collapse. Now these are negative things, not positive. The value of land, real estate, and property will continue to plummet. Well, see, that might be a good thing in some ways. The price of agricultural products, it's in Cancer. Cancer is... But it's also, you know, the cult, moon is the cultivation of the earth. It's the earth. So the price of agricultural products, particularly grain, will continue to rise. Fishermen, because again, moon in Cancer. Moon is the seas, the oceans. I say moon because moon rules Cancer. That's why I'm saying that. I know it's a solar eclipse. Fishermen will be up in arms over smaller yields and bigger government restrictions. There will be further unrest and rebellion in prisons. A world leader may be forced from office or have a fall from grace. Could be a world leader, could be somebody a little lower down the totem pole that we don't expect will tumble down. Remember that last eclipse we talked about? And the governor of New York Mr.
Greenberg.
Mr. Spitzer. Yeah, with the sex scandal, which would be okay on the one hand, except that he was a crusader for the high moral ground, and here he was, you know, he was being diverted with other interests, let's say. But you know, there was also some other backstory that he was going after certain corporate interests who put a tail on the guy to see if they could get any dirt on him, and found him visiting this young and to, in other words, to take him down so he would stop prosecuting them. It worked a charm, because you know, all you gotta do is get a good private detective, and if anybody's got anything going, I mean, you know, in America, that's like, you know, would you, so what did you do this morning? Okay. Now, what to do during an eclipse?
Pregnant women shouldn't look out.
Correct. Mm-hmm. In Vedic times, many thousands of years ago, it was the custom to enter a river, particularly a sacred river such as the Ganges, or the ocean, or really any body of water, about up to the waist, and chant mantras during the whole time of the eclipse. Well, some, that's what they would do, yeah. Yeah, you try to avoid the big waves. And chant mantras and offer prayers for purification for the duration of the eclipse. Solar and lunar eclipses are generally very inauspicious, with certain rare exceptions. It is nonetheless an advantageous opportunity for fasting, prayer, and meditation. That's what you should do Friday morning. I mean, it's pretty easy not to eat for 2 hours, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's not that hard to do. Fasting, prayer, and meditation on God. Fasting should be observed for the entire period of the eclipse in order to nullify the reactions of past negative or egocentric activities.
Sorry, can you stress that sentence?
Fasting should be observed for the entire period of the eclipse in order to nullify the reactions of past negative actions. Past negative actions means produced from ego. If you're acting like a soul, you won't be producing negative actions, and you won't need to have negative reactions. If you're acting out of ego, if you're acting like a body, then you will be producing negative actions. Guaranteed. And you will get reactions. So, it is also recommended to give in charity to the poor as much as possible during the time of a lunar or solar eclipse. Now, that might be something you want to do at that time. You might write a check, put an envelope, post it, for example.
I'll give you all my
direct information. Okay. We said, you know, we're talking legitimate poor here, my dear. Okay. Or you might, you know, however you might want to make a donation of some kind to a worthy charity. If you cannot afford to give in charity, then simply give charity within your mind, in meditation. Is this effective? How effective is it doing it in meditation or doing it physically? What's the difference?
Just as effective. It has to start in your mind.
It's just as effective. It's just as effective. It's no less effective.
phoned Jan and Catherine this evening a couple of weeks ago. I said to him, we should get some apple trees. I'd like to have some apple trees. So it was either later that day or the next day, I grabbed an apple from the kitchen. And I was at my desk and I was biting into it. And I found three of the seeds had roots on them inside.
Sprouts.
Wow. So I planted them and I've got three little ones, little trees outside.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Mind over
matter.
So when you want something, here's where it starts. Then it should manifest. Why shouldn't it? If it doesn't, then there's something wrong with the creative process, because whatever is put into creative fertile soil, so to speak, in the mind, will bear fruit down here somehow. Then the question becomes, when? If you're Jesus Christ, it's immediately. You want to test out how dynamic you are in your creative manifestation? If you can't do it immediately, I'll give you 24 hours. We used to say, I had some people that I would have class with years ago, and we'd say, okay, the 24-hour factor. And we would try to manifest things in 24 hours. So, 24 hours being your bare minimum, you know. But really, if you manifest it instantly, then I will bow at your feet. So, it should manifest, whatever it is. Simply then give charity within your mind. That is, envision yourself doing it just the way you would on the physical plane. The spiritual benefit for you will be the same. Pregnant women should never look at an eclipse, since it is thought to have a potentially negative effect on the health of the fetus. It's not actually good for anybody to look at an eclipse. Good luck in telling people not to look at an eclipse, because they're going to look at it. And of course, you can't look at the solar eclipse directly, because you could damage your eyes. But okay, if you have any planets in Cancer in your Vedic birth chart, or if you have a Cancer ascendant, you can counteract some of the negative effects of the eclipse by chanting the following mantras to Ketu or the sun. For Ketu, you chant Om Shri Ketave Namaha. And for the sun, you chant Om Shri Suryaya Namaha. So that's Om Shri Ketave Namaha, spelled Ketave. And then Om Shri Suryaya Namaha. Everything I've just told you is on my website under planetary events. And this will be the first posting on top of the page. It's all on there. Okay. Here's the story behind it. Thousands of years ago, the demons and the gods were instructed by Vishnu, or God himself. That's Vishnu, second from the right, with the forearms, to churn the ocean of milk at the base of the universe in order to generate the sacred soma, the nectar of immortality. When the nectar of immortality was produced, the problem was to distribute it between the gods on the one hand and the demons on the other. The gods, of course, are those who have universal welfare at heart. The demons, of course, are those who do not have universal welfare at heart, would have their own welfare at heart, or the demons would be people who would be more interested in manipulation and intimidation. You may have met one or two in your lifetime. When the nectar, okay, I said that. To give it to the demons would mean to give infinite strength to those who would use it with poor judgment or from a limited egotistical perspective. Demons. To remedy the situation, Vishnu himself took the form of a beautiful damsel named Mohini, the bewilderer. So when Vishnu turns himself into a woman, it's she is really beautiful. I mean, stunningly beautiful. Told the demons to arrange themselves in a row. So the demons are like, who is she, you know? To arrange themselves in a row to be served their share of the nectar. In preparation for the intense experience of drinking the nectar, Mohini asked the demons to close their eyes and meditate. If anyone opened his eyes, he would lose his chance to share the nectar due to his impatience. Treated them just like regular children. The materialistic and self-involved demons waited and waited. Mohini, in the meantime, distributed the nectar only to the gods. Now, there's another account of this story that says that she distributed all the nectar to the gods and then had a jug of, what do you call it here? Poutine. Moonshine, liquor, and distributed the alcohol to the demons instead of the nectar of immortality. Which would have made them happy because, you know, you're going to have... It's not quite the same effect. So anyway, there's that story. It is generally a female divinity, a virgin, who protects and bestows divine knowledge or revelation to lower beings. So that is what this whole thing is about. Mohini tried to teach the demons that one should not strive for physical immortality and its benefits, but for the supreme knowledge that transcends all material enjoyment and sensory perception. She tried to raise their consciousness. She was trying to do, but she didn't give them any of the nectar. Now, here's the part you're interested in. The demon, Rahu, who is thought to be a serpent-like character, had no intention of cooperating with Mohini's plan and hid himself in the row of gods, directly between which two gods?
The sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon. All right. The sun god passed the jug of nectar. Yeah. Passed it over without maybe looking carefully. As you would, you know. And there was Rahu. And Rahu took a drink. At that time, The sun and the moon gods recognized Rahu and called out to Mohini, "This is Rahu, the demon. He's here in the midst of the gods." Like this, right? The nectar had only gone down as far as his throat. Like this. So Mohini, who is Vishnu, now if you look at Vishnu there, on the upper right hand, he's got this golden disc. That's his chakra. And it's very handy in decapitation, cutting off the heads of the bad guys, the demons. So Mohini, being Vishnu in female form, immediately, I don't want to look at anybody while I'm doing that, sent off the chakra and severed Rahu's head. But because he had drunk the nectar of immortality, the head became immortal, right? And Mohini threw her discus at him, severing his head from his body. But since the nectar was already in his head became immortal like the other gods. Rahu then went on to perpetually eclipse the sun and the moon. I'll get you guys for this. So that's the story there. And as payback for their treachery toward him. Ketu is considered to be the tail of the serpent, since Rahu and Ketu are always exactly 180 degrees apart in the sky. Dragon's head, dragon's tail. So that's the story.
Well, when Rahu appears in your Vedic chart,
it's Rahu. No, everybody's got Rahu in the Vedic chart.
Okay.
So.
Is that the.
It's dragon's head.
The negative, though, as in the positive and negative, and the kind of. Because it has to be there.
Yeah. It's always there. They both. They're demons by nature. They're malefic planets or malevolent forces.
Mm-hmm.
All planets teach lessons. Because you know what? This is school here. That's what we're doing here. In case you think you're doing something different, like holidaying in Lanzarote, I got news for you. This is school. Can you holiday in Lanzarote? Yeah, you can. But the lessons will follow you to Lanzarote. I guarantee that. So some planets teach... by giving in positive ways and uplifting ways. And some planets teach, the malefic planets or malevolent planets teach by taking away or putting you through very, very difficult experiences. That's their job. Their intention is not to hurt you. It's to teach you. Sometimes, less and less nowadays, a child will get the strap. I remember the vice principal of the Jesuit school strapping me very firmly on the hands with a tractor fan belt. It really hurt.
It did.
And it cured me of the problem that I was creating in the classroom. So, you know, suffering has effects. It can teach you a lesson. So that's what Rahu and Ketu do in different ways, but largely that's what they do. So the inauspicious effects that are meant to happen due to an eclipse are meant to ultimately shed light on something that people need to look at. As I gave in the example of the two people at work. And if the lesson's learned, then excellent. You don't have to... Every time you would go into a Rahu period in your lifetime, you'll only get one major Rahu period, according to your Vedic birth chart, but you'll get several minor periods and several sub-periods of Rahu. Right? Cycles within cycles within cycles. It doesn't mean that every time that period comes along, that suffering is guaranteed. It isn't. If you learn the lesson, these periods can be better and better and better. They can be wonderful periods. Depends. You know, depends how you utilize the lesson that's being given. All right. Any questions?
If we're somebody in Rahu, what happens? What implications does it have on Friday? I'm not in Rahu, but
I mean, it doesn't make it any worse or better. The way you look at it is, if you got planets in Cancer, then it could like, for example, if you have Moon in Cancer in your birth chart, conceivably, in the next few months there would be an emotional upheaval mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. Moon being emotions. Moon is mother, moon is family. So it could be around the family in which you're raised. And or moon is women. So it could be with a woman, with a matriarchal figure. It could be in some degree of emotional suffering or sadness or sorrow or pain or distress. Like this dog. That's her usual behavior throughout the day. She has moon in Cancer. This dog, yeah, Sita has moon in Cancer. So who knows what's going to happen once the eclipse takes place. Yeah. Clindy puts the jumper on her and she stands there like this. And she won't move. Okay, so that's an example. You have to see if you have any planets there. Now, don't think, if you have a planet in Cancer, oh my God, what's going to happen? I'm not going to leave my house. You know, it doesn't mean something's going to happen, but it could.
So it's being aware and watch out.
Oh, being aware. Cancer is land, property, real estate. It is the earth and its bounty. It is crops, crop production, grains, foodstuffs. And we're already having a problem with these things in our world right now. It is also oil, liquids. Well, we depend on oil. And it is also products of the sea.
It's interesting that there's something in the news about the media.
Oh, yeah, if you looked there, you'd find it. Mm-hmm. Well, they may not, you know, in newspapers they mention it the day before, usually.
Yeah. Because there was a total eclipse about 10 years ago now, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh no, there's four a year.
But that one was at midday here. You could really see it.
Yeah, and if the moon went over there.
Well, you will. You'll see some of it on Friday here, mm-hmm. I believe, because you're right between 10:21 and 12:21. You know, well, you know, if there's no cloud, you'll see.
But you don't know what time.
I just told you.
If you go onto like NASA's website, just a minute, they'll give you all the details. Well,
you can track it if you want. So we don't get the full blast of it. It's further north. I said that earlier.
Oh, okay.
Is it necessarily a bad thing to? Is it not how you view it? Like in my view, this property head downwards is.
Oh no, that's a good thing.
Great, and it's so overdue, and only going to produce good. I also think that dependency in oil in the Western world, particularly, is the root of all evil. There's no need to be that dependent. So maybe these things, in my view, are great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you.
It doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, bad.
Yeah, I mean, our dependence on oil is almost like an addiction. You know.
Yeah, I know. But
you know, when you're going to go cold turkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the poor guy, I remember last time we were watching, the poor guy in Cambodia has to go back and use his water buffalo to do all his land now because he can't afford
gas, so he's gone back to the water buffalo to plow the field.
Really? We won't be able to find our way up here from the city centre on a Tuesday night. It'll take me 4 hours to walk.
Well, then you carpool. You know. So, no, you're right. You're right. I mean, real estate property, real estate prices are ridiculous. I won't do it tonight, but there's some big stuff coming up next year. I mean, we'll talk about it another time, I think. All right. Protective armor of Lakshmi, cause of fortune. Now, we did one of these last week, an Anganyas, it's called in Sanskrit. So I thought this is the one I actually was more inclined to show you. Now, let's just give some explanation. this is a depiction here in the wooden statue form of Lakshmi in the middle, goddess of fortune. That's her again, far right of that altar. And that's her beau, I mean her husband, Vishnu, God, next to her. In Vedic understanding, there's no such thing as God without the goddess. Sorry, it doesn't exist. That's out of balance. It's out of whack. It makes no sense. The male is the energy or the source of the energetic source, and the female is all the energy, all the various and different kinds of energies in which the Godhead is manifest in the world. So they're together always. Vishnu is considered to be God. The definition of God is the one who is full with six opulences: Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasa Shriya Jnana Vairagya Yoshchapi Shanang Bhaga Itingana. Most wealthy. Aishvarya. Virya, most powerful. Yashas, most famous. Shri, most beautiful. Jnana, most knowledge, most knowledgeable. Vairagya, most detached. That's God. These different qualities are worshipped here in this world. The people you worship, that you see, the people look up to, that they respect, that they emulate, and they show you in the news and on covers of magazines, will fall into those categories. I guarantee. Mostly it'll be beauty for magazine covers. Or it'll be fame, because some of them are not very beautiful, but they're famous. Some of them are famous for being famous. Generally, they're also beautiful. And some of them will be wealthy, or some of them will be very talented in some area, such as sports stars, or actors, or musicians, or painters, or dancers. That's virya. Virya means power, but it means talent and ability. So these are the opulences. And whenever you have any of these opulences, even one in a very high degree, everybody begins to worship you. Guaranteed. So what is the difference between you and God? God's got them all. To the nth degree. Unlimited degree. That's why he's so cool. He's the coolest. Now, when Lakshmi was produced out of the ocean of milk, that's another story, and she appeared, that's when the gods and the demons were churning the ocean to produce different things. Actually, it was part of that story, to get that nectar of immortality. That's what they wanted. Many things came out of the ocean, and Lakshmi herself was one of them. As soon as she walked out, oh my God, look at how beautiful she is. The most beautiful, right? And she sort of sashayed along the shore, as you do. And everybody wanted to marry her. Every single guy there, the god among the gods and the demons, wanted to make her his wife. And she actually went up and down the rows to see who she might fancy. Well, she sort of didn't fancy any of the demons. He ruled them out early on. And then she walked down the row and looked at all the gods, all these male gods. You know, the wind god, and the sun god, the god of the ocean, and all these. Varuna and Surya and Agni, the fire god, you know, who blazed a little brighter as she walked by, you know.
And she could smell the money.
Smell the money.
It sounds like heaven, really.
But
from where she's from.
Yeah. But she, even though each one of them had some quality that she found attractive, these lesser gods, these might be your archangel types, she could read their minds. So she knew what the weakness was. Now here's one of them. He was gorgeous. This guy, you know, he should be on the cover of one of the magazines. He was beautiful. Right. But he thought he was beautiful. So there was the ego. No, not interested in him. There's a whole, it tells you the whole, all the different things that she saw in them, but why she wouldn't choose them. And the only one that didn't queue up. You're reading the wrong story. The only one she didn't, that didn't queue up was Vishnu, God Himself, who is the essence of detachment. I can take it. No, Vishnu is not the flute player. It's Krishna. Vishnu is a bit more formal side of things, you know. So Vishnu is detachment personified. You know, you can take it, you can leave it, whatever, you know. He does his duty, but he's not easily swayed, right? So she walked to Vishnu and she looked at him, and of course he's very, very beautiful. And instantly she could see that he had all the qualities, all the qualifications, with no flaws, no ego attached. And she said, yep, you're the one for me. So that's the story. Vishnu, or God, is married to the goddess of fortune. God is, in case you hadn't figured this out yet, the wealthiest man in the universe. But what? No. But why? Why is he the wealthiest man in the universe?
Because
Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, never leaves his side. One of the names for Lakshmi, you know this name, is Chanchala. Chanchala, I like that name. Flickering. Can't make up her mind. Here today, gone tomorrow. Fickle. Chanchala. So that's why when Lakshmi comes and visits your home and your life, you may be extremely wealthy this lifetime, or you might be wealthy for part of this lifetime, but you will not be wealthy lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, because you are not Vishnu. So we want her to hang around, because wealth is good. Wealth is the energy of the Godhead.
Well, it's up to wives as well to embody her.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's why so many men that, you know, be multimillionaires and they separate, the wife goes off and he loses his wealth. So she was the one who was attracting him.
Yeah. A man becomes wealthy because his wife becomes the goddess of fortune in his life. But she won't become the goddess of fortune unless he recognizes who she is and encourages her virtue and all of her loving qualities. So that is the reciprocation that is required in a male and female loving relationship. And Vishnu and Lakshmi are the essence of that. Yes.
Do you know, in the big corporate companies, they wouldn't employ guys that are not married?
Right.
If you have a serious money that you're dealing with, they wouldn't employ
you. It's almost the same in politics. If you're going to go away together, you know, if you want to be a person, whatever.
Well, Bertie pulled it off for a while. He was married initially. Yeah.
Initially, but not.
So that's one of the secret in Think and Grow Rich in Napoleon Hill. They say it's that is because he man concentrates his energy when he has one woman, whereas if he's many, then he's
split.
They even try and tell the
exactly true
that as well. They try and encourage footballers to get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they perform better.
Men perform better when they have one partner and their mind isn't, because men are always thinking about sex, I mean pretty much all the time, and it's very distracting. I have a very dear friend of mine who's very high level of sexual energy. He has a very high level of sexual energy, and the guy hey, I've already moved on from that statement.
Oh, come on, we're all very mature.
So I have a good friend, but he's a highly sex guy. You can, but he's in Los Angeles, and subsequently he's gotten married. This is the point. So he could not have peace of mind unless that problem is taken care of. For some people, it's very distracting. That's my point here.
But even when he's married,
now when he's married, he's fine. He's fine because it's being taken care of regularly.
Can we ask for, say if we're not in a relationship, can we ask for a part of Vishnu when our man comes in? How do we?
That's exactly what you should be asking for. You want Vishnu in your life. You want a spark of Vishnu in your man. That's exactly. I went on a tour of South India. I went 6 weeks or 5.5 weeks by myself. I went to almost all the major temples in South India, and I prayed to Lakshmi. And I said, please send me a portion of a portion of a portion of you in female form for my partner. Now, I said, if you can't send this to me because I don't deserve it, don't bother sending me a human girl. I don't want a regular human girl because, frankly, I can get one on my own and I'm not interested in that.
And this is what you said.
That's what I said. If you're not going to send me an exceptional person who is a goddess on earth, I don't want it. Don't bother. Don't waste your energy.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
But that's what needs to be said. That's what you must say.
Yeah, and I said if then it means I have to spend the rest of my life by myself, I said fine.
Yeah.
No problem. Not that I want to do that, but if that was my prayer.
If you give it back.
And then that was fall of 02, and then 9 months later.
You got your girl.
That was 24 hours.
I met her.
Yay! So we can seriously have
the birth of that.
Birth of that.
Yeah.
They sorted it out.
Good.
Yeah. And then I did various prayers and mantras, and I'm going to give you a mantra now.
The Kalinda mantra.
So you now don't let this worry you, because here we're going to this mantra. It's actually a kavacha, an armor, and it is dedicated or directed toward Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So that you will yourself embody the qualities of Lakshmi, and you will attract, be you male or female, Lakshmi, that is, good fortune into your life. What is good fortune?
Can I put something in just before you go on?
Is it money?
It can be.
It's not just money.
Energy.
It's good fortune. It's good. Yeah, go ahead.
She told me that when you're embodying her,
mm-hmm.
that's good. But she said to do it really, really properly, you have to have Vishnu in your heart. Because the two can't be separated. So if you're going to embody her, you have to have her in your heart. So if you
have Vishnu in your heart,
you can feel him in there too.
Okay.
And vice versa.
All right. So this is to attract wealth, good fortune, good karma, good opportunities, so that you'll be in the right place at the right time, so that you'll be able to manifest what you want in this world. That has to be win-win. Can't be good for you and bad for somebody else, or good for somebody else, bad for you. No, good for everybody. Everybody benefits. Otherwise, what's the point? Right? Even people who we'll never meet, they will benefit as well, because the vibration reverberates out. It's like the stone in the middle of the pond. Everybody in the universe will feel it, whether they realize it or not. Correct? So that's what we're not trying to, yes we are trying to turn you into the goddess of fortune, ladies, but that's not just what we're trying to do. Now, so we're putting on this is an armor of protection, but it is also, think of it also as an embodiment of this divine feminine energy. Okay. So, there's a little picture of Lakshmi there with the two elephants. That's Gaja Lakshmi, which means Lakshmi with the elephants. That's Gaja Lakshmi there with the elephants. She's called Lakshmi or Shri. Lakshmi is a Sanskrit word. And then if you go to different parts of India, then you'll hear the dialect. Lakshmi becomes Loki. And from Loki we get what in English?
Lucky.
If you're lucky, you have Lakshmi with you. You have Loki. Lady Luck. Yeah. Okay. So this is no coincidence. Now, touching the heart with the right hand, first mantra. I'll say it first. Shring Hridayaya Namaha. Shring Hridayaya Namaha. Shring Hridayaya Namaha. Now you don't say, I don't say shreem. Shring. 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 Okay. Shring Hridayaya Namaha. So when you do this, you do it once and then you go on to the next one. I did it several times just so for your pronunciation's sake. Okay, next one. Touching the head with the right hand, say, Hring Shirase Swaha. Hring Shirase Swaha. Hring Shirase Swaha. Hring Shirase Swaha. Next one. Touching the top of the head, like right here, the soft part, you know, when you're a little baby, that this is where the soul is supposed to leave the body. If you can get your soul to leave the body through here, you won't come back in another birth. If you get it to leave your body through a different orifice, you'll be back. Okay? So up here we are. Ain shikhayai vashat. Ain shikhayai vashat. Ain shikhayai vashat. Aing shikhayai vashat. Okay. Imagining Lakshmi within you. Now, here's the kavacha. Kavacha means the armor. So it is on the one hand a sense of protection from negative elements. But it is on the other hand embodiment of her principle. So you want to envision her kind of like her body is toe to toe with your inside of you. You know what I mean? Her head is here, her arms are here. Okay? So this one is Sring Kavachaya Om. Sring Kavachaya Om. Sring Kavachaya Om. Sring Kavachaya Om. Sring Kavachaya Om.
Can you?
No. No, it's Hum. Hum. It's a U. So, can you feel that mantra?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Next one are your three eyes. Did you know you have three?
Yeah.
Okay, you have the two eyes, and you have your third eye in the middle of the eyebrows. So, touching your three eyes. Hring netra trayaya vaushat. Hring netra trayaya vaushat. Hring netra trayaya vaushat. Hring netra trayaya vaushat. Then the next one is because this with the armor, protective armor, that's the defensive part. There is also an offensive part. Now, we're not encouraging you to aim it at anybody. The whole idea is to hurl the weapon to sort of fend off possible negative energy. Because there would be people, for different reasons, who would send negative energy your way. Maybe they're envious of you. That's the most common one. Root word of enemy is enmity. The root word of enmity is envy. So, you know, we're not saying you should aim at anybody. You just kind of... And if you throw it kind of like a spear, like this, on the word fuck, like that. Okay? Aing astraya fat. Aing astraya fat. Aing astraya fat. Aing astraya fat. Now, if you don't want to hurl it, you don't have to, but the mantra fat.
I like to see it go out, like when you put a pebble in the water and
go. Okay, then do it that way. And do it that way.
Yeah.
And let it go out. Ein astraya fat. Ein astraya fat. Okay, good. Now, while sealing the 10 directions, we say the next mantra. So, it's shring hring aing iti dig bandaha. Shring hring aing iti dig bandaha. So what you just in your mind, east is that way. Or if you don't want to look, I always consciously think of each of the directions myself. There's 10. So east, northeast, north, northwest, west, southwest, south, southeast, above, below, or below, above. That's the 10 directions. Okay? So you could chant the mantra 10 times if you want, or you can just chant it once, or you can do this. They do this in India. I'll circle around themselves sometimes. Shring hring aim iti dig bandha. Alright. So, questions about that? I invite you to try this. It is very potent. Very potent. So, if you would do this every morning, I mean, to get through that, it doesn't take long at all. You know, and do yourself a little experiment. Say, okay, I'm going to do it for 2 weeks. Morning and evening, for example. Morning, noon, evening. I don't know.
Is this the one that you've been doing?
Oh, that's only one of the ones I've been doing. Yeah, I've been doing a whole bunch of them. But now, on the other page, on the back side, I think is where Kalindi put this, or the one I got anyway, is Lakshmi Dhyanam. What does Dhyanam mean? What is it? No? That's Jnana. What's Dhyanam mean? It's one of the Angas of the Ashtanga. It means meditation. So this is how you can meditate on Lakshmi. That's what this is describing. Oh, Goddess of the Lotus. Why do they call her Goddess of the Lotus? Because she always carries a lotus. In this Lakshmi over on the far side, you'll see in her lower hand, a lotus. The Lakshmi we have in the dining room, she holds two lotuses. We like Lakshmi. I meditate on you in your two-handed form, which you assume for your lila, or pastimes. Wearing anklets and a necklace of pearls, you are the sustainer of everything, O Goddess of Fortune. O Goddess shining with white light, holding a conch, discus, and club, in your hands, you are dressed very beautifully. So who holds conch, discus, and club?
Vishnu.
So this is Vishnu's main squeeze. So she holds it too. You know, that's his wife. So they, you know, they have similarities. In this depiction of Lakshmi in the wooden statue in the middle, she has the conch up on her, up to your right, and the discus up to your left.
You can barely see them. Sort of...
But if you look carefully when you stand up, you can see them. This is a mudra of... This is called Abhaya Mudra. Abhaya means peace. Don't worry. Don't fear. It's nothing to fear. It's to tell you that everything will be fine. Don't worry. So you'll see that she has that, and so does the other Lakshmi there. If you say something, well, this happened, this and that, and then the person goes like this, then what do you do? You stop speaking, right? And you let them solve the problem for you.
We were driving on Sunday, and in my mind, I was driving, and you know, I was asking for some guidance, and all of a sudden this guy, he had a really long stretch of road up near the Kilterne and Sport Hotel. Mm-hmm. Right. The guy on the path there, which you never really see.
On that side.
He was just walking along like this.
Yeah, he walked on, I looked over the guy. She's, I don't know what she's thinking. And this guy went. Chill, Jill. So that was it. So this is Abhaya Mudra, and so she has these. Okay, so you're holding a conch, discus, and club in your hands. You are dressed very beautifully. O Lakshmi, please grant my wish and bless me with the fulfillment of all my desires. So I don't expect you to learn these two mantras, but I'm going to chant them for you. If you want to learn them, you're more than welcome to learn them. I chant these every day. Hasta dvayena kamale dharayantim svalilaya haram nupurasam yuktam lakshmin devi vichintaye shankh chakra gada haste shubhra varge suvasani mamma dehi varam lakshmi sarva siddhi pradayani. So, you want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hasta Dwayena. You want to say it? You'll say it. Well, I'll do the line and then you repeat. Hasta Dwayena Kammale.
Hasta Dwayena Kammale.
Dharayantim Svalilaya.
Dharayantim Svalilaya.
Hara Nupura Sangyuktam.
Hara Nupura Sangyuktam.
Lakshming Devi Vichintaye.
Lakshming Devi Vichintaye.
Again. Hasta Dvayena Kamale.
Hasta Dvayena Kamale.
Dharayantim Svalilaya.
Dharayantim Svalilaya.
Hara Nupura Sangyuktam.
Hara Nupura Sangyuktam.
Lakshming Devi Vichintaye.
Lakshming Devi Vichintaye.
Okay, next one. Shankha Chakra Gadahaste.
Shankha Chakra Gadahaste.
Shubhra Varge Suvasini.
Shubhra Varge Suvasini.
Mamma Dehi Varang Lakshmi.
Mamma Dehi Varang Lakshmi.
Sarva Siddhi Pradayani.
Sarva Siddhi Pradayani.
Shankha Chakra Gadahaste.
Shankha Chakra Gadahaste.
Shubhra Varge Suvasini.
Shubhra Varge Suvasini.
Mamma Dehi Varang Lakshmi.
Mamma Dehi Varang Lakshmi.
Sarva Siddhi Pradayani. Okay. Now let's do both of them together. And we'll put a little bit more melody. Hasta Dvayena Kamale.
Hasta Dvayena
Kamale. Dharayantim Svalilaya. Dharayantim Svalilaya. Haranu Pura Sangyuktam. Haranu Pura Sangyuktam. Lakshmin Devi Vichintaye.
Lakshmin Devi Vichintaye.
Shankha Chakra Gadahaste. Shankha Chakra Gadahaste. Shubhra Varge Suvasini.
Shubhra Varge Suvasini.
Mamma Dehi Varang Lakshmi.
Mamma Dehi Varang Lakshmi.
Sarva Siddhi Pradayini.
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 Sarva means all. You want a word for word?
Just the last line.
Sarva means all. Siddhi means fulfillment or perfection or realization. And pradayani means please give. In this case, please bless me.
Is that the same as, when you obtain a mantra siddhi?
Siddhi.
That's the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The fulfillment of the mantra. The effect. Okay.
So on the second line of the first paragraph, the very last word, how do you say it?
Li-laya.
Li-laya.
Yeah, when they got a long stroke over, that means it's the long.
Okay.
You hold the letter out longer. Li-laya. Lila is pastimes, the different things that they do, and that means you assume that form. Darayanti means you assume this form. Hastadvaya with two hands. Svalila for the purpose of your lila, of your different activities, and Kamale means Goddess of the lotus, O you who holds the lotus, Kamala. All right.
Could we chant this somewhere in the water?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Will you have that pronunciation on the website yet?
I could, yeah, that's an idea.
We should do that.
Oh no, this will be, see, this will be on. This whole evening will be on the website.
Oh, I didn't know you put them on.
Every week we put them on. Yeah, well, we don't have that specifically dedicated to that, but yeah, we ought to do that. Anyway, you could listen to, with the thing's still up and running, isn't it, on the podcast?
That was
has it been changed? Can they still, are podcasts still available the way they were before?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so for example, if you were to listen to this night, you go onto my website, you click on podcasts, and then you go scroll down a bit, you'll see meditation evening, it'll give the date.
Okay.
They're all there. So then when you press play, because there's that little band, and it shows you, you know, where the arrow, there's little things moving along. And then if it's not where you want it to be, you just move it forward to get to this part. Mm-hmm. So you can get to it fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my point. You don't have to listen to all that went before.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know what's okay? Take some pure water in a cup and take a little and sprinkle it on your head and urine water. And you can say, I'm not going off into water. I'm gonna meditate. I plan to meditate for 2 hours on Friday morning. And we'll be right here in this room meditating. And that's what I'll do. That and the different mantras and different things, and hopefully Clindy will clear her busy schedule and join me. Let us meditate. This is getting way too much fun in here, way too exuberant. Oh, wait, damn. Let's find some nice music.
How many are most of you going tomorrow?
Yeah.
Fanula.
Fanula is singing.
Oh, yeah.
Who did the river dance?
Yeah.
She belongs to her album.
Glindy, I told them, I said, even we're going down, you know what it takes to get us to go into the city, so. Close your eyes. Breathe, relax, and let go. Allow the stress, tension, fear, and apprehension to drain from your body. Totally, completely relax, breathe, and let go. Deeply relax. High above, envision a beautiful beam of radiant pearl white light coming down, down, down from the heavens, entering through the top of your head, expanding throughout your head, your torso, arms, legs, out the bottom of your feet, and into the earth below. Breathe, relax, and let go. All right. You are in a beautiful, verdant peaceful forest. And you're walking down toward the bank of a very, very gently moving river. The water is crystal clear. And there, sitting upon a lotus flower near the shore, is Lakshmi, Sri Devi, the goddess of fortune herself, sitting upon her lotus flower in peace, smiling, gentle, loving, warm, welcoming. You've brought a gift for her. Look down at your hands. See what you've brought. Don't choose it. Let your subconscious show you what it is you've brought. And now, offer it to her with a bow. Lakshmi accepts the gift from you and says, "What?" What does she say? She thanks you. And she has a gift for you. And she presents her gift to you now. What is it? You accept her gift, take it from her. What are you to do with this gift? If you don't know, then ask her. Thank her. Now, you may continue to speak with her as you like. For those of you who have completed the meditation, have finished the steps, return now to consciousness, awakening, feeling refreshed, relaxed, and at peace.